Hello everybody, it's George from Ireland. Well, thank you for coming back to my channel. This is about the new policy unveiled by His Britannic Majesty's government, but is only for England, not the United Kingdom as a whole. So this government proclaims itself to be the most feminist ever. Only about a third of the women, the cabinet are women. Was it actually slightly higher under some conservative cabinets? In the SNP cabinet, it's higher than that. Anyway, so they're all harping on about misogyny and violence against women. Every decent person will agree that, violence against women is a very bad thing. And so is misogyny. And misogyny exists. So that's obviously the hatred of women for being women, saying that they should be beaten or they are evil or they are stupid or something like that. So that's obviously detestable. I'm very much a philogynist. But I really don't think there's that much misogyny around. I would rather there's none. But we can't outlaw an emotion or an opinion. I suppose you can outlaw expressing it. And the Labour government said they bring in legislation to criminalise expressions of misogyny. The trouble is, according to the feminazis, misogyny is well nigh all. Expressing any attraction towards a woman, that's the objectification of women or sexualising women, really is part of the war on male heterosexuality. So that they can say that lap dancing bars are misogynistic, or beauty pageants or topless photos are all sorts of things, or various jokes are misogynistic, some sort of newspaper articles commenting on the cesarean sections, that's misogynistic, that just about everything and everyone is hating women, defending little children is misogynistic. This really is preposterous and revolting, the way they will misuse this to try to criminalise anything that they don't agree with. So a part of this incipient totalitarianism. So they want to stop the radicalization of young men. Radical used to be seen as a good thing. Tony Benn, Tribune of the Left, published his autobiography Free Radical, wanting dramatic and rapid change. What's that? That's radical. The root is radice, radix, the root, you know, root and branch change and so forth. Okay, so the teachers are going to be given more training to teach pupils about consent. And I'm told that the university these days, freshers get these ones. So obviously, like, all sexual activity could be consensual. But inevitably, teenagers don't know they're doing, they're finding their way in the world. They've never done this sort of thing before. And I'm not talking about all the way to sexual intercourse, any interaction, are going to make mistakes, particularly if they're drunk or it's dark or things like that. And unfortunately, some boy has done something foolish or inadvisable these days, might find himself on some sort of list or charged with a crime. So this is not to trivialise rape, for example, which is a very heinous crime indeed. That ought to go without saying. I don't want children to suffer that. I don't want to suffer it myself either. And some of the training they're bringing in, we didn't have to have before, which is the way that technology's moved on. That if you share intimate images of someone without her consent, even his consent, you will get into big trouble. So, you know, some naive youngsters may not realise this. And actually making intimate images of anyone under 18 is illegal. And some of them might not realise that or say, oh, well, it doesn't matter if I'm the same age and so on. Okay, so some people say it doesn't go far enough. Okay, to try and find positive role models to take or tackle unhelpful and unhealthy myths about women and relationships. But should the government be really telling us how to run relationships, equality in relationships? Some people are happy being dominated, and sometimes that's the man. So there doesn't have to be always equality like that. Obviously, people have the right to end a relationship any time. Some people are wealthier than others, and they're also about the power imbalance. He's senior in the company, she's junior, so that's an abuse of power, which is preposterous to say, so you could never date someone who's lower in status in that organization. How about in a parallel organization? Is an exploitation if he, she is junior to you or he, she earns less money. That is ridiculous. Point is that relationships work, not that they're completely equal. Often they can't be completely equal. One person more experienced, one person has more erotic capital or whatever it might be. Okay, so introducing a new helpline for teenagers so they could report abuse in their own relationships and so forth. So to stop misogyny, it's a bit like the Prevent Programme for Terrorism, which was obviously an abridgment of civil liberty, that some opinions are branded extreme if the establishment finds them uncongenial. I mean, everything was extreme that's now accepted. All advances for freedom and human rights are first dubbed extreme. Attempt to delegitimize dissent by naming it extreme. So anybody who disagrees with this Labour government's policy would be misogynistic. Well, I definitely am not. I'm very, very philogynistic. And I agree that violence against women is certainly a very serious issue. I was rather there was no violence against women or violence against anyone for that matter. And I agree that it is particularly despicable of a man to use violence against a woman, particularly his wife or girlfriend. Such a man is the lowest of the low. It really is deeply shameful that anyone would ever physically harm a woman. So now I realize that there are some misogynistic influences out there. Andrew Tate definitely is bad news. And that guy Fuentes, what he said was rather nauseating and so on. But they're not doing it to all boys. I initially thought that would be the case, which I thought would be too insulting and too degrading and may well provoke a backlash and so on. Goodness. So, okay. We don't want men to be perpetrators of violence. That ought to go without saying, but unfortunately that's not the case. We're going to have these positive role models for boys and men, not Sir Keir Starmer, I don't think. Now, Jess Phillips is using really hyperbolic language, saying violence against women and girls is a national emergency. So what, we're going to like suspend habeas corpus or what? Or, I don't know, have compulsory ID cards? Or what are we going to do? That's what you do when there really is an emergency. That is called 999, declare a state of emergency. So it's preposterous that she's misused this kind of thing. Yes, and, you know, it is very bad. But as usual with this moral panic, there's been the inflation of statistics. There's this rather emotive overreaction to it. And I know, obviously, there's nothing more emotional than murder. Imagine someone you love gets murdered. Well, it doesn't get worse than that. If somebody you love dies, that's very hard to take. But if this person is young and she didn't die by an accident or natural causes, but by malice, that's obviously infuriating as well as heartbreaking. All right. So I'm not sure what else can be done to try to prevent this problem. I know they're saying prevention is better than cure. By the time this woman has suffered violence, it's already too late. It would have a bit more credibility if this government wasn't full of people who'd done more to perpetrate violence against anyone, against children, than anybody else, you know, including girls. And Jess Phillips is one of the worst offenders and so on. So they said 20% of boys in their early teens have a positive view of Andrew Tate, who calls himself a misogynist. Is not necessarily for his misogyny, it might be for his sort of sexual exploits. Having said that, he is standing trial for rape. Now, even Mr. Tate gets the presumption of innocence, so I don't want to prejudge the outcome of his trial. So all these tens of millions of pounds are going to be spent on this. So so reducing the risk, says 40% of teenagers in relationships are victims of abuse or domestic abuse. Wow. The trouble is we do broaden the definition too much, saying, don't be so stupid, you're silly, I hate you. That's now seen as emotional abuse. And we need to develop a bit of resilience. That's not on a continuum with being beaten to a pulp. I mean, come on. People are going to say unpleasant things to you. Okay, and the Department of Education is right to say that, you know, pornography is not good for people. It can be addictive. It can give them a completely unrealistic view of sexual relationships and so forth. The very best is just a waste of time. And people then compare themselves to some unrealistic physical standard or performative standard and so on. So I mean, I'm mostly against what they're doing, but I don't realize it doesn't always come from a bad place. But we look at the murder statistics. All right, so there's only for England and Wales, not for the whole UK, and it's only for 2023 to March 2024, so over a 12-month period, which is presumably not unrepresentative. So 570 murder victims in that time, which is actually considerably lower than it was in the 90s. They say partly that's because of the advances in medical science. The doctors are able to save some victims who otherwise would have died of their injuries. What else? But I think that includes manslaughter. But the majority of victims, 73% of the victims, are male. So why is there the emphasis on female victims when almost three times as many male victims die? Do men not count? Are they less valuable? So violence against women is a very serious issue. Violence against men is an even more serious issue because more of them get murdered. We don't hear about that. That's discriminatory, isn't it? So that's how bigoted this government is. And so we want to stop violence, full stop, but is okay against men? Okay, now men commit the majority of crime, particularly violent crime. Of those who commit murder, about 92% are men. Okay, and of the female murder victims, 157, the person convicted was male in 88% of cases. Yeah. So men suffer most of the murders, but they commit the great majority of them. They're physically stronger. Is there more testosterone? Are they just conditioned to aggression? So, and toxic masculinity, I agree, that's a real thing. Being too macho, I used to just call it over masculinity, trying too hard. Some of the negative masculine traits of aggression, of cruelty, of a lack of empathy, overemphasizing physical fitness. I mean, physical fitness is a good thing, but like anything, I suppose it can go too far. Of a complete lack of compassion or mercy or indifference to suffering, even one's own suffering, being hyper competitive and things like that. So that's all a bad thing. And then for money as well, even that means committing crime, including violent crime and so forth. Of completely separating sex from emotion. You can see how that can be bad for people. So, you know, some of what Labour says is true, but I'm unconvinced by the policy and I see how blatantly discriminatory it is. And why is it they don't care about boys? You know, girls are outperforming boys in almost every subject. Now, that's partly reflects well on girls. Obviously, there are millions of girls in this country. So it depends. Some are very brainy and very hardworking. And, you know, it was in English literature, English language, biology, art, drama, music, French, Spanish, German, Latin, ancient Greek, politics, classical civilization, so many subjects, law, business studies. Am I forgetting any subjects? In almost every subject, girls are doing better than boys on average. Boys are doing better in sort of IT, science, chemistry, physics, and maths. And that's about it. In like 9 out of 10 subjects, girls are outperforming boys. If you go back to the 60s, opposite way around. And the thing is, girls are often on average are pulling a bit further ahead. And at this rate, we'll be better at boys in every subject, including those STEM subjects. And girls, the majority of those who go to university and again tend to outperform, getting more first on average in more and more subjects outperforming. The majority of doctors are now women. A high majority of those qualifying as solicitors are now women. And barristers getting close to 50-50. And so boys are gradually being pushed out of the learned professions and the workplace. Now, but when males were a majority, that was terrible, according to feminists. But when women are the majority, it's not. Why not? That's illogical and discriminatory. And I can accept that women, on average, are clever at various things, are better at various things, you know, more diligent on the whole. So they deserve to be the majority. And the failings of boys and males, that's the fault of boys and males in many cases. And now, I know it varies. There are very brainy, hardworking people who deserve to be whatever it is, barristers, engineers, or to get their A star in, Italian or whatever it might be in geography. Generally speaking, maybe boys are just not putting in the effort or just don't have the ability. Now, it could be, are we teaching more female style, or 75% of teachers are women in primary schools, more like 85%. Boys get the idea that the learning is effeminate. I remember at university saying, oh, it's terrible that women get fewer first because it's all discriminatory. They teach in a male way. What is a male way? Does a male-female way of teaching exist? They do the exams to favor male ways of answering these questions. But I'm told that the male and female brain don't exist. That's a social construct. So oddly enough, according to these feminazis, if women do better, that's absolutely fine. But if men do better, it's not. You see how illogical and hypocritical it is. Anyway, let's hear it for the boys.